changed his behaviour before Abimelech drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So reads God's most precious word. Let's praise him. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we again give you thanks and praise for drawing us to his place tonight, where we can come before your throne of grace and to glory in our Saviour and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you for it. We thank you for that great work upon Calvary's cross. We thank you for that blood which cleanses us from all sin. We thank you that we have a Redeemer who is alive and sitteth at the right hand of God on high. And tonight, our Father, we want to exalt him. We want to glory in him and to magnify his works and his person. Bless you, our Father, that by your grace you have called us by name to be your children. By your grace you have drawn us here tonight to bring our prayers and petitions before you and to sit under your word. We pray, Lord, that your face may shine upon us, that we know your blessing, that we may know the joys of sins forgiven. We come, Lord, with expectant hearts, that you may meet with us. For you have promised that we're two or three again, there you will be in the midst of. So, Father, tonight, we pray that you'll still our hearts and our minds from the events of this day, the concerns of this past week, and that our hearts may be stayed upon him who loves our souls. So, Father, we pray again that you come amongst us, and that to bless, for we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our studies through the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. It's got an interesting title at the beginning of it, Psalm of David, when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And that's a reference there to 1 Samuel 21 and 10, verses 10 to 15, 1 Samuel 21. If you want to turn to that, please do. If not, I'll read it to you, 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him, his answers, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. He changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? That's the background to this particular psalm, Psalm 34. And there are many references in this psalm to events around those verses and to proceed then and following chapters of 1 Samuel, which you may look at as we commence our study tonight. First of all, we need to notice that David declares that I will bless the Lord at all times. And in the last study, the psalmist entreated us to rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. The praise is comely for the upright. And we remembered there that those who are upright are those who have had their sins forgiven, those who have made full confession of their sin, as we study in Psalm 32, and also received a full forgiveness again there in Psalm 32. And David entreats the angels to join with him in the praise of God, and also those of his fellow countrymen, those who have a heart to praise the Lord. In Psalm 34 here, he makes his resolution. I will bless the Lord at all times. And it's easy, isn't it, to bless the Lord when times are good, when we're prosperous, when times are going well for us, and we're prospering in our family life, in our church life, in our national life, then we can praise the Lord at all times. But David says, even in adversity, he will praise the Lord. Psalm 34 is, David is in great adversity. He's been chased away by King Saul. He's gone into the wilderness, so to speak. And he's alone. He's a man all by himself. And yet even there, in the midst of his troubles and his heartache, he's separated from his family, his loved ones, from the comforts of his home, the palace. And yet he can still declare with certainty, I will bless the Lord at all times. And that's a lesson for us to learn, to bless the Lord at all times, through good and through ill. That's the mark, that's the test of a true believer. And his praise shall be continually in my mouth, he declares. This is something which is part of his very soul. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. A statement that he will continually praise his God, his Redeemer, his high fortress, his refuge, for he has done great things for him. And that's a mark of maturity. We are so fickle. We are tossed to and fro by circumstances. A.W. Pink, back in 1946, in one of his studies of the scriptures, he was saying, it's easy to sing a song. Even the worldly can sing a song. Particularly when times are good and easy. But it's difficult to sing a song when times are hard. Even for Christians, we are so carnal in our feelings and our emotions. Things affect us and we're downcast. I think we say really that that shouldn't be for a true believer. They raise themselves by God's grace and by God's help above their circumstances, and they bless the Lord at all times, and they praise him continually. We're different to the world. We should be different. When we're knocked and when we're bruised and when we're broken, we should still have this spirit, this determination, this eye of faith to continually praise Lord, and I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. reverence that he makes his boast in the Lord. Now we know this also all through this Psalm 34. It's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, put in every verse. It is the Lord. That's where his focus is, upon the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. What we boast in? Our family, our achievements, our wealth, our homes, occupations. But David's soul was set on boasting of his God, of the Lord, of what he has done for him. His praise shall be continued in my mouth. He wasn't dumb when opportunity came to speak of God and of his covenant mercy to him. He wasn't tight-lipped. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't had to blush when he spoke of his God, because he's new. He already knows what God has done for him. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. As I said, this is a humility. It's a humility he's boasting in, because he says, "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." The humble shall hear of and be glad. And really, verses 1 to 2 are his personal testimony. And through his psalm, it alternates between his personal testimony. And in verse 3, he entreats the whole congregation, all those with him, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." The last Reformation meeting we had at Market Street, Howard says something quite telling of the days of the Reformation, the pre-Reformation, that the Church of Rome, when they sang, was more a performance than worship. One thing that people couldn't understand the word that people were singing in the choir, because they sang in Latin, and all the service was in Latin. And part of the great mood of the Reformation was that Reformers, Calvin and Luther, they translated the Psalms in such common tongue so that the ordinary people could praise God. And Howard said, we're slipping back to those days. We're slipping back where worship is becoming a performance. The worship of God is a performance. There's a choir, and there are soloists, and all the rest of the things which go with it. It's become a concert. And these things are to be so. Spurgeon says that as we come together as the people of God, we engage our hearts and our minds in the worship of God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. It's calling the congregation together to worship and to praise God. We need to be aware of the trends of this present generation. More and more performance is coming in to the church. I dare say you probably know this already, that when Handel's Messiah was first performed, that beautiful music and those beautiful words, there was an outcry amongst the nonconformists. Simply because, how can the judgment and the wrath of God be sung by unbelievers performed as a concert? And John Newton, he wrote a letter to the churches, and he was just beside himself with despair that such a thing could happen. Now you're probably thinking, I'm a crazy old man, really, because that's such beautiful music. What I'm saying is, that's acceptable now in this generation. In their day, it was unacceptable, because they were speaking about holy things, and there were people who were living immoral lives, and it was an affront and offence to Almighty God in the eyes of the nonconformists. Today we accept it. Sacred music becoming entertainment. That's the state of the church. And not only that, think again in his studies there, he said, it's so sentimental. The music that we're singing in the churches is sentimental. It's all about me, my, I, how I about hymns and songs would be written 50 years prior to that, what would he say today? We need to be on our guard. We need worship that is reverent, holy, respectful. This is what the Psalms teach us. This is our model. Our focus as the people of God is not upon how I feel, how much I love God, but how much He loves me. What grace is poured into my heart. A rebellious man or woman that I am, God has shown mercy. We speak of His worth, not of our worth. It's not what I feel or how I am moved by the Spirit of the song. It's how it moves the heart of God. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Again, he mentions the name, as we considered last week in our study. That name, which speaks of His character, of His attributes, of His worth, of His glory. That name we love to sing about, a name we love to hear preached, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's exalt His name together. It's a corporate thing. It's not a performance. We come together as the people of God. We are bringing our praise and our adoration to Almighty God. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let's make Him great. He is great. How can we magnify God, who's already great and glorious? But together, we magnify His name to the world around us, to our neighbours, and to those who come into this congregation. And they've exhorted the people to do exactly that. As a congregation, oh, magnify the Lord in me. And let's exalt His name together. Bear in mind the background of this psalm is feigning madness. David then gives a personal testimony in verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, that their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That is David's testimony. If you were to say to David tonight, well, David, what did God do for you? How did God help you? Verse 4 and following give us a clear testimony of how God had delivered him. He said, I sought the Lord. That's why we come here tonight, to seek the Lord. I sought the Lord. We want to see more of this in our churches. We'll see more of this in our hearts, in our own personal lives. Seeking after the Lord. David's testimony is, I sought the Lord and He heard me. Those who seek will find. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. God delivered him, rescued him, brought salvation to him from all his fears. And he did have fears. He had many fears. Saul was on his tail, pursuing him, seeking his life, seeking to destroy him. David feigns madness. But the real man was King Saul himself. 1 Samuel 21:22 following, he just turns on his own men, Saul does, and says, none of you told me, none of you supported me. He has a little fit, really, of, you know, self-pity. And David here had many fears. We don't have a man chasing us tonight, do we? Seeking our death. But David did. David had many discomforts. Says, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And he was poor, we, as we know there, 1 Samuel 21. You know that Jonathan sends an arrow and the boy comes and lose the message and the boy sent home, and Jonathan and David meet together and they depart. David departs with nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. And he had no bread to eat, so he goes to the tabernacle, and the priests there ask him, "Why art thou alone?" He's on the run all by himself. This poor man, all alone. No man with thee, says the high priest. Why are you alone? He's such a lonely man. He had no bread, no money. He asks for the show bread, which the priest gives to him to eat. He has no weapon in his hand. In 1 Samuel 21, verse 8, he said, they said to Abimelech, "And is there not here under mine hand a spear or a sword? Why have neither brought my sword?" He's defenseless, homeless and defenseless. And he comes and he remembers that he was a poor man. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Remember that day? You cried unto the Lord as a poor man, a day when you did not know Christ. You had friends. I had friends, so-called, when I was a young man. But when it came to a crunch, they soon vanished. When things became difficult, they disappeared. Life was hard. No friends. David has no friends. He calls upon the Lord. Do you remember those days when no friendship with God, no friendship with the Savior, no desire to know Him. And suddenly something comes into your life, some circumstance, some bereavement, some event which shakes you into the foundations. And then as a poor man, cry unto the Lord. Remember that day? Maybe something could be put a date on that day when you cried unto Him. And David says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Later on the psalm, he says, the Lord has eyes and ears to hear. He sees and he hears the cries of his people. This is David's testimony. I sought the Lord, verse 4, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears, those fears which man carries in his heart as he's being hunted. And he has his confidence. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. What grace, love, and mercy you see in the Lord Jesus Christ as we cry unto him. And as we continue to cry unto him, David cries for relief, and we cry for relief from circumstances and difficulties in family and church and for our nation. This poor man cried, and the message really is tonight that as poor men and women, we come before a sovereign God, knowing this, that he will hear us as we bring our prayers and petitions before him. And he saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord is a God who intervenes. He's a God who cares. He's a God that delights in delivering his people from all. Verse 7, he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them all. The angel of the Lord. I don't know what David saw here, but as was there, the angel of the Lord speaks of another angel of the Lord who met Joshua before the battle of Jericho. It's a title of our Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. Is he a theophany here? I don't know. It almost appears like he does. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That word, their fear, is not that fear of the heart and mind. It's that fear of reverence. As he comes to worship, he comes into the presence of an awesome and almighty God. And again, he delivereth them. As he encamps around his people, he delivereth them from all troubles. What troubles we've been through this past week? Very big troubles which we have no idea in which the
Lord has preserved us from. From a car on the road, many troubles beset us. And his providential dealings with us are truly wonderful. And then David gives an invitation, a taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. Saying, don't we, in English, you know, you eat pudding, it's good pudding, it's taste kills you, doesn't it? Proof is in the pudding, proof is in the eating of it. And this is what David's saying here, oh, taste and see. Come by faith, come believing, come trusting, taste, it's the invitation to taste and see, as one would a meal. Taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man that trusteth in. Tonight, pray that we may taste him. And know he's good. May he be good to us as a people. May he be good to us as a church. May he be good to us as a nation. And that's the invitation to the whole world, isn't it? To taste and see that the Lord is good. And by his grace, we did taste. And we did see by faith that he is good. There is no God like. He's unique. He's the one who intervenes for his people. He's the one who encampeth round about us. He's the one to whom we bow in reverent fear and worship before him. For he will deliver. He has delivered. And in the future, he will continue to deliver his people from all. Lord, bless those thoughts to us tonight. We've come to our closing.